One of the few foreigners who was allowed to visit the front lines during World War I, she described herself then as an eager, grotesque figure bestriding a mule in the long, tight skirts of 1915, a prosaic Valkyrie laden with cigarettes. She also raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for refugees during the war and set up workshops for women all over Paris, making clothes for hospitals as well as lingerie for fashionable clientele. In 1916, she won France's highest decoration and became a Chevalier of the Legion of Honour. She was also the first woman to win the Pulitzer Prize for Literature. The plaque outside her house in the Rue de Varennes says Edith Wharton was the first American writer to come to live in France for love of this country and of its literature. Here at her grave in Versailles, someone has left some porcelain flowers, a pansy and a rose. Otherwise, it's a simple cross surrounded by gravel. The caretakers here say 20 or so people visit a year, but fewer and fewer seem to know that Edith Wharton is buried here.
Ouais, mais y a moins en moins de monde qui vient. Il y a de moins en moins de monde qui vient. Les générations.
The previous generation used to come because they knew about her, says gardener Lucerie Denis Serge. But now, one or two people come a year looking for the grave.
La deuxième personne qui me demande.
Wharton moved to Paris in 1907 and found there intellectual as well as sexual freedom.
One of the many things that happened to her in France was that she had a very intense secret romantic affair.
This is Wharton's biographer, Hermione Lee.
Not with a French person, but with one of the many cultured Americans who had adopted a life in France. And this affair was, it seems to me, very French, in the sense that it's not something I think that would have happened to her if she had gone on living in New England. One could meet, and one could find places to meet, and they make little journeys out of Paris to nearby places, and they have assignations, and they get together, in people's salons. And there's something wonderfully Parisian, wonderfully French about this midlife affair of Edith Wharton's. And I'm sure that, you know, that freedom that France gave her was one of the very important things for her about living in Paris.
Wharton, who at times included in her fiction polemic against the way girls were educated, also preferred conversation à la française, and her drawing room was often full of writers and artists. Connie Nordheim-Wooldridge has also written a biography of Wharton.
She was always surrounded by an entourage of men, her inner circle, Henry James and Bernard Berenson and all of these luminaries, I would say, who she was the center of that circle, not James, not one of the others. She was the sun, and they gravitated around her.
But when France went to war, Wharton became even more impressed by the French. She describes the faces of the wounded young soldiers in Paris as calm, meditative, strangely purified and matured. It is, she says, as though their great experience had purged them of pettiness, meanness and frivolity, burning them down to the bare bones of character, the fundamental substance of the soul, and shaping that substance into something so strong and finely tempered that for a long time to come, Paris will not care to wear any look unworthy of the look on their faces.